Good morning. I see I effectively destroyed the other microphone, right? Is this volume okay? Can you hear? Okay. Would you turn in your Bibles to John chapter 10, please? Okay. Ah, that's better. I'd like to start reading John 10, verses 7. Jesus therefore said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. The sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Lord God, we come before you. We thank you for the good shepherd. And we pray, Lord, you'd give us ears to hear what you would say to us this day. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Getting a little feedback on this, Barney. It may just be the ringing I hear in my ears when, you know, the mothership tries to communicate with me, but I'm pretty sure it's not that. Continuing to read verse 12 and verse 13. We're going in and out. Might need a connection here. How's that? Better? Okay. "He who is a hireling and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, beholds the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hireling and is not concerned about the sheep." I've been a believer since April Fool's Day of 1970, the first day I was not a fool, and I can tell you from my heart of hearts, and I can give you a list of people that will testify that I am not a hireling. Okay? I am not a hireling. I am, when Barney called me, in fact, it was probably a month before Barney called me that Rich asked me to call Barney, and I did not, because one of my life goals is not to find a pulpit, or I guess I said that backwards. It's not my goal. It was my goal at one time to find a pulpit, and I think I was a hireling. Early, in fact, the first place that I was a pastor, I think I was a hireling. My heart was to climb the spiritual escalator and to become someone. And over the years, I've discovered that I am someone, but only because of what Christ has done in my heart and in my life. And that, other than that, I am no one. And I have nothing in me that is worth sharing. I got some interesting stories, but they're really of no spiritual value. And so coming here was most difficult for me, not because I'm a scared of you, but because I'm not a hireling. And everywhere that I minister, I minister out of relationship. And because I believe God wants me to be involved with those people. And I wasn't really sure about you guys. I really wasn't sure what was happening here. And now, I think that it's good. It's good that I'm here. You still may not like what I have to say today. But that's okay. Because I'm beginning to care about you. And what happens to you. And whether this fellowship continues as a fellowship or not. I've been through a congregation. In fact, we grew up in a congregation where everybody in the church was our family. 200 to 300 of them. And ultimately, that church closed. And I remember the grievousness of that, the pain. It was sort of like a divorce. It was sort of like a death in the family. And I would not wish that on anybody. And yet you still have to determine, what is God doing and what is He saying in your local body? How best can you be used of the Lord? How best can God serve you? Please turn to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. And we'll read some controversial things. And hopefully God will give us a little bit of vision. Because without a vision, the people become scattered. Left to themselves, left to ourselves, we're just like sheep. And sheep aren't really that smart. And I'll be the first one to confess that all of my earthly wisdom would only get me into hell. I got a reserved seat in hell using my earthly wisdom. But following the shepherd, I'm going to make safe harbor. So, Ephesians 4, we're going to read a good portion of the chapter. One of us is probably going to stop along the way and make comments, and since I have the microphone. Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. And I, too, as a prisoner of the Lord, because I am not free. I am in service to the King. And I do my best to follow His leadership. And I would encourage you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling for which you have been called. Many Christians have entered the kingdom under false pretenses. They've been preached a gospel that sounds sort of like Jesus was out looking for you, and He and all the angels are really happy that He finally found you. And although there's some truth in that, the reality of it is the problem was never on His part. It was always on your part. And the fact that He went out to find you was not just because He was sad that you were going to go to hell. He went forth to find you because it pleased the Father. Because Abba Father has always had a plan for Himself. And that plan included you, those that have come to believe, become part of His body, and ultimately become part of His bride. Do you know does anybody know in the Genesis account of creation what God says is not good? What? Thank you very much. It's not good for man to be alone. And did you notice that prior to that God made man in His image? So if God made man like Him and it's not good for man to be alone, maybe it's not good for God to be alone. Not that He has to have, but that He wants to have someone to pour out His love upon. And have you ever considered that if you had to love Him back, you couldn't really love Him? That would not be love. Love required free will. And so in God's great eternal wisdom, He determined that you were going to get a free will. Gorillas are not your ancestors. They do not have free will. Oak trees, when you take an oak seed and throw it, an acorn, and put it in the ground, a maple tree does not grow. Only oaks grow. But when you take man and you bring him forth, he chooses the steps of his path. He chooses ultimately to follow after and to love God or not. And believe me, no one's going to hell because you didn't tell them about Jesus. People go to hell for rejecting through the course of their life, however many years that may be, the sovereign redemptive work of God. God is faithful. Paul says in Romans 1 that the whole creation testifies to the glory of God. Therefore, mankind is without excuse. No one will be able to stand on that day and say, I did not know. Because God has planted it in their hearts. So I would encourage you as the prisoner of the Lord to walk worthy of that calling, realizing how high that calling is. Nothing else in the universe can worship God by choice. I really liked when my children were growing up, when they did what I said. It was way less messy. But then when they started getting older and they started having their own mind, we had some problems. But the best of the best is when your child looks at you and says, not my will, but yours. And by choice, they do what you want rather than what they want. That is the high calling of God's people. That is what you're called to do. Verse 2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, the Lord may well, in fact, I believe God will send you someone to shepherd this flock. Do not look for someone who's well-spoken. That doesn't matter. Do not look for someone who's pretty. That doesn't matter either. Or someone whose wife has a great voice, like mine does, to compensate for me. That's not important. Look for someone who loves God and has humility. It's the number one characteristic missing in the leadership of the body of Christ. Humility. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humility is not weakness. It's actually strength. It's recognizing who you really are and not boasting about it. Philippians, the second chapter, gives us the greatest picture of humility. God, the Son, decides that he's willing to please the Father, to leave everything and become the lowest of the low, knowing full well that he was going to have to die. It wasn't a surprise. I hope you don't think it was a surprise. I hope you don't think that there was this terrible scene in the throne room and they threw dice and decided the sun had to go down. The Christ was slain before the foundations of the earth. Giving was God's idea. Sacrificial love was God's idea. And he always knew what he'd have to do. That is humility. Verse 4, there's one body and one spirit, just as also you were called in the hope of your calling. One hope, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. By the way, this chapter will require about 4 months, but we don't have 4 months, so I'm sorry, we're going to have to skip over some of this. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now, everybody is gifted. There are no ungifted people. And what I said about the future pastor that God will bring to you is important. But his gifts are not that important. Because you know what gifts tell you about the person who has them? It tells you that the person that gave them the gift was very generous. It doesn't tell you anything about the character of the man. How many of you have Christmas trees on Christmas? Guys get Christmas trees? See, I'm an anti-Christmas tree, but I'm a Jewish kid, so it's okay. Enjoy your Christmas trees. But when you hang those the tinsel and you put the presents underneath the tree, what does that say about the tree? Nothing. The tree is dead. It only tells you that the person who put the gifts under there was very generous. So too, the gifts in a person show you the generosity of the giver. If you want to know the character of the person, look for fruit. Fruit demonstrates the roots, the care, the strength, the stock of the plant. You can't fake fruit. Oh, you can fake fruit for a little while, but you know what? If you hang up bananas on a dead banana tree, they turn brown in about a couple of days. Okay? Look for fruit. Fruit will tell you what's happening. And each one of you, your gifts are given to you. So if God anoints you and you get up and preach a mighty sermon, do it with humility. You know, I get half of what I'm doing when I'm up here. My notes consist of this. There ain't much there. I'm getting it live. And the only place that can come from is God. So the glory goes to him. This is really important. I'm not saying I don't study, I don't pray, I don't seek God's faith. That's not what I'm talking about, because that's fruit. But the gifting that God plants in you, and here's another question. Have you ever seen an apple tree eat apples? So why do apples grow on an apple tree? They're not for the tree. They must be for somebody else. So fruit is not for you, it's for others. Others are supposed to partake of your fruit. This is really also very important. I don't care what pastor God sends you, he will not be able to fix the problems in this fellowship, in this community, without the gifts of the rest of the people in the congregation. You must get a vision of this, otherwise, go somewhere else. Because the problem won't be repaired by one man. Somebody better be watching the scripture. It's your job, because I don't know where I am. Verse 7, to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. You need grace to even use the gift. You need unmerited favor. You need to be given gifts not because you deserve them, but because you need them. Husbands, you need to love your wives not because they're lovable, but because they need to be loved. Wives, you need to respect your husbands not because they're respectable, but because they need to be respected. That's what it says in the chapter, in the next chapter, actually, Ephesians 5, which we're not talking about today. Grace is given to you so that you can use the gifts, because the gifts are necessary. Fruit is grown in your life so you can share with one another. I believe it's one body. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of gifts and gave host of captives and gave gifts to men. Now, this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also had to descend into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended himself also is also he who ascended far above all things, that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. Some of you may wonder what I am. I can tell you, certainly, I am an apostle. I hope that doesn't frighten you. Okay? I don't have a bus. I don't have a cape with a big A on it. I've sought the Lord for many years. I have pastored the brethren who I am committed to at Franklin Covenant in Fort Lauderdale. Oh, my Lord. In Franklin. Agree. It's an apostolic call. What's an apostle? Is he the top dog? No. Paul says he's least. Apostles are master builders. They see the roots of things. I had such great relief when I had that prophetic word brought to me. It was like, oh yeah, that's what I am. That's how my heart beats. That's what I care about. He gave some as apostles. Apostles are foundation workers. He gave some as prophets. A prophetic voice doesn't just tell you it's going to rain today. Amen. The prophetic voice tells you what God is saying to the body of Christ now.
Amen.
Prophets are for direction. Apostles are for foundations.
Amen.
He gave some as evangelists. Evangelists do not lead people to Christ. Oh, yes, they do, in part. Evangelists stir within us a heart for evangelism so that we lead people to Christ. Some as pastors, shepherds. The highest authority in the local church is not an apostle, it's the pastor. Anyone who comes in here, prophet, evangelist, any ministry that is extra local that comes in, cannot go around the pastor, because the pastor is charged with the care of the sheep. The pastor keeps the gate. No one goes through the gate except the shepherd lets them in. If he does, he's a thief. And he's a robber. And there are a lot of Christian ministries that are thieves and robbers. They go over the fence. God forbid that we do that. God has order. God has direction. God has intention. And he gave some as teachers. Some people read that as a fourfold pastor teacher. It doesn't matter, all those who have the level of elder in the body of Christ are charged with shepherd responsibilities, which include teaching. The point of this is that apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are governmental offices in the body of Christ. They are no better than anyone else. We are servant leaders. Look for a servant leader. Look for somebody who is not a a travel agent. You don't want a travel agent. Oh, come on, the kingdom of God will be fun. Here's your tickets, get on the bus. You want a tour guide. You want somebody who gets on the bus with you and says, yeah, this is a fine river to go whitewater rafting on. And he doesn't leave you on the shore, he gets in the boat with you. And he goes down with you because he's got spiritual experience and he's gone before. But his heart is for you. His service, his pouring out of his life is to the king and to you. Governmental officials placed in the body of Christ. And why are they there? Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints. Many of you think you're equipped, and maybe you are, but some of you, your equipment is outdated. And we need new equipment because we need to go regularly to the throne room. We don't want old manna. It gets wormy. We want to hear what God has to say to us today. We, you know, at one time, the battles were fought with swords in real war. Now they're using different equipment. We need to be equipped how God says we need to work now. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers do not do the work of the ministry. Oh, they do as members of the body, but not in their governmental offices. You guys do it. You want to see this church grow? Believe me, a pastor's not going to make this church grow. He's going to have vision, hopefully, and either you'll stumble him or you'll support him. And those will be your decisions. And you'll either get behind him and he'll inspire you and you'll work the work of the ministry, or he will not succeed. And this becomes critical for you as you're praying for him. Pray for humility on your own part, that you'll be able to hear what God would say to you. How can we work the work of the ministry? How can we be the army of God? How can we do this? Father, help us. Verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith. You know, we have doctrinal differences, no doubt. In fact, me and Barney are the only ones that I know that have the correct doctrines, and I'm starting to wonder about him. You know, I don't care where you go, you're going to find things you can agree with one another, and you're going to find things you don't agree with. So what? Did you ever read in the book of Revelation, there's a passage of time, silence, as of 30 minutes, John said, almost 30 minutes of silence. You know what that is? That's where all the Christians throw out their charts and their doctrines, and they stand and look at God, and they go, oh. Because we've all got it wrong in some measure. Don't take yourself too seriously. Don't hold on to the way that you've always done it. Because some of it's wrong.
Amen.
Some of it's just plain out and out wrong. Don't be afraid to go back and look at your doctrine. Why do we do what we do?
Amen.
Why do we do what we do? You know, It's kind of funny. I got saved in 1970, and I entered the church in 1970, the church at large. Now, they could have started doing a certain practice 6 months into 1969, and I would have assumed that it had always been done that way. But it could have only been 6 months ago. We don't know. There are things that God is reviving that look bizarre to us. There are things that we think are so comfortable and right that he's done with.
Amen.
He wants them out. They're contrary to the move of the Holy Spirit, even though they were a lot of fun. And we're going to have to be open to hear his voice as we go through the times that are coming. Lord, help us to be flexible.
Amen.
Otherwise, we're going to break.
Amen.
So, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son, to a mature man. You do realize that Christianity is a forward-growing experience.
Yes.
Getting born... You know what born again is? Born again gets you to the position that Adam and Eve were at in the garden. In fellowship with God, still holding a free will, faced with the tree of knowledge and the tree of life. Which one are you going to choose? Being born again takes you back to the beginning. Now you're supposed to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Paul says at the end of his life, I press on to the mark of the high calling of God, not as if I have already attained. He talks about it like it's a race. I buffet my body, disciplining myself, pressing on. Christianity is a forward-moving situation. If you don't know more today than you knew yesterday, you went backwards. It's God's moving forwards. If you were one of the children of Israel, my people, so sensitive, out there in the wilderness, how many of you read the Exodus? It's very exciting. I remember the first time I read it, I was just absolutely amazed that they could forget that God was God when they had a pillar of fire every night and a pillar of smoke every day, when little cakes that tasted like honey fell from the sky every night, and they gathered them in the morning, and they still, we don't know who this Moses is. Aaron, make us a God that we can see. Well, you have the Holy Spirit of God within you. You have an earnest deposit that every day you know is there. When you're alone, all by yourself, and you're laying down, you know that you know that you know. And yet we do the same things. We do the same things. Press on, children of the King, that will grow up to be a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. Once again, I would tell you, leaders are people whose lives you need to see. If you're in a church with 400 or 500 people, 1,000, 2,000 people, which may seem bizarre to you right now, chances are the guy that speaks every Sunday is not your shepherd. Your shepherd's probably the guy that you think of when you have a crisis, the first person that comes to your mind, someone who you can relate to. And you probably know how he treats his wife. You probably know if on Sunday morning he's different than he is on Monday afternoon. You probably know how his children are. You probably know how he deals with his finances, because those things demonstrate the character of the person, not just his gifting. As a result, we're no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, which is what I'm doing right now, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. Sometimes messages that are the most valued to us aren't the most comfortable to us. Realizing that just because we do it this way doesn't mean it's right. Realizing that all of us have sin in our lives, and God's goal is to root it out step by step through all the rooms of your house. I let God in the kitchen, the living room, the dining room. I'm not too fond of Him going into the closet, but that's the room He wants to go into. He knows all the stuff that I keep under the bed. He knows all of it. Verse 16, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, by that which every joint supplies. Make no mistake about it, every one of you is critical. But joints are movable parts of the body, and have you ever tried to scratch your nose with your elbow? No, because it probably doesn't have a close relationship with your nose. If it does, something's broken. Different parts of the body have different relationships with each other, but they're all valuable. Drop something on your little toe and see if the whole body doesn't hurt. But you also need to know that every part of the body answers to the head. It has to do the instruction of the leadership of the body. If it doesn't, does anybody know we're Americans, we like independence, right? Independence Day, what a great holiday. What an anti-Christian holiday. How does independence work in the body? Do you know what an independent cell is called in the body? Anyone? We have them. It's called cancer. That's exactly what it's called. Any cells acting independently within the body are cancerous, and they need to be removed. Lord, help us not to be cancerous cells in the body, but rather to be fitly joined to one another and under the leadership of the head. Christ is the head, but Christ ordains people as underheads, if you will. Little regional managers. And that's what governmental officials are: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. My personal opinion is every individual congregation, if not that, then certainly every community ought to have people functioning in these types of offices. People who have a vision for what God is going to do in the church. People who have a connection to hear what God is saying to the church. People whose heart is for the lost. People who care for the flock. And people who are diligent to see that the instruction that the body is getting is biblical. Amen. They should be functioning in every church.
Amen.
In some capacity. Whether they're real or whether they're recognized or not. I've been apostolic as long as I've been a believer. I just didn't know what it was until somebody came along and said, "You in the back with the funny beard. Yeah, God says." And my heart went. It didn't change who I was. Joy refuses to make me the cape with the big A on it. Blue, maybe purple. She won't do it. It's okay. It's okay. My sons all want ones with son of apostle on it. From whom the whole body, verse 16, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. This is what we want to see. This is your congregation, and that's nice, but you're only one part of the body. And God wants us all connected. And God wants us all caring for one another so that growth occurs, so that people are prepared for whatever God the Master sends our way. Please turn to 1 Corinthians 3. We'll pick it up at verse 10. According to the grace of God, which was given me as a wise master builder, and this is Paul, not me. I'm just a baby builder. I'm like Builder Bob. How many of you got the Builder Bob series? He's just a little guy with a round head. Yeah, and that's me in a blue hat. It was given to me as a wise master builder. I laid a foundation and another building upon it. Let each man be careful how he builds upon it, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Hallelujah to that. And upon that we have Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. The foundations of the faith. Repentance from acts that lead to death or dead works. The resurrection of the dead. I'm doing them out of order. Baptisms. All of those things, they're laid out in there. Those sit on the foundation of Christ. Those are the basic doctrines of the kingdom. Okay? Verse 12. Now, if any man builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work, which he has built upon it, remains, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire. We're not talking about an eternal position here. Your salvation is not based on work at all. Your salvation is based upon your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. However, now that you're born again, you're part of the family business. And you're supposed to show up every day and say, "Here I am, Dad. What do you want me to do today?" You did not receive a corner office. You're not in charge now that you're born again. You're just one of the kids who he's training. But during this training process, the things you do will either be gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. So as we endeavor to find ourselves in this body, in this community, in this kingdom, let us endeavor to not create things that are wood, hay, and stubble. And the things that are wood, hay, and stubble, let's let go of them. Let's let God make us into gold, silver, and precious stone. And I promise they're all going to be tested. They're all going to be tried by fire. But God has, I believe in my heart, God has something for you guys here. I mean, you're hanging on, you're hanging in, you're hanging out, and you seem to care for one another. And I know you love the Lord. So Joy and I will commit to pray for you and to care for you and to help you as you need it, as the Lord begins to bring you back together. But you're going to have to be willing to let God cut out things that are not useful and to clean up the things that are useful but they've fallen out of use. Wood, hay, and stubble. Gold, silver, precious stones. Let's close in prayer. Lord God, I do thank you that you work in mysterious ways and you so care about all of your people. You're so willing to take the one step that we give and come way across the field and snatch us back up. Help us to be inspectors of our own lives. Help us to examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith, to see if we're pressing on, or to see if we're building our own. Help us not to create wood, hay, and stubble, but to work hard to create gold, silver, and precious stone, so that your name would be glorified, so that your kingdom would be built, and you would accomplish your purposes in our lives and in our communities. We pray this in the name of Christ's name. Jesus' name.